chapter number 4. We have been in James for quite some time. James is kind of our theme for the year, a play on words called Faith Works. I think the guys did a good job, if you'll notice in the bulletin, the insert, when it's talking about faith promise works. If you don't get that, I'll explain it to you. But I do believe that's a good theme for next week. Faith promise does work. Faith promise has worked in our life, Robin and I, since we were saved in 1984. Both of us were saved while we were stationed in the Air Force down in San Antonio, Texas. Somewhere around 6 or 7 months after we got saved, they had a missions conference. We had no idea what that was all about. And I will remember that I remember that our first time that we ever gave was $5 a week, and it was really $5 a week for a person that one guy's an airman and his wife had just got out and was staying home with our children. $5 was a lot. You can buy a lot of beans and rice for $5, I can tell you that. But that was how God started in our life, and God has blessed so much since that time, so over 30 years ago. And we've been involved in faith, promise, mission, giving ever since, and it does work. Now, we didn't give so that it would work. We just gave and it did work. And so that is totally a blessing. Again, I'm so excited. This is our Faith Promise Week. I love springtime, and I love mission conference. And when they both come at the same time, it lifts my spirits up. Amen? So Wednesday night, 6:30, make sure that you're here. James chapter 4, we're going to read beginning in verse 13 and finish out this chapter tonight, today. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now as ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that is sin. Now I want to preach this message this morning. Only God knows tomorrow. Father, I pray that you would be in the reading of your word and the preaching of your word. And I pray that we might understand that truly we are only given to today and we know not what tomorrow may bring. Lord, our life is but a vapor, for it appeareth a little while and then it vanisheth away. Lord, I pray we'd understand the truths that are contained in what we read this morning. I pray that we would understand that we need to prepare for the future, but we do not know what the future holds. I pray that you would bless the reading and the preaching of your word today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. There is nowhere in the Word of God that it tells us that we should not plan for tomorrow, but the Bible does demand that we do not leave God out, whatever our plans may be. You see, James starts out in chapter number 4, if you'll be reminded, really, he's talking about fightings and war. So here's what I said. We start off in chapter 4 with war against God, and we end up the chapter that we better understand what the will of God is. We don't need to war with God, but we certainly need to be in the will of God. Now, the way that I can, best that I can put it is, we don't want to live within verses 1 through 4. That is not to be our life. We are not to be a world. We are not to be a friend of the world and an enemy with God. We are not to fight among ourselves. We are not to have our prayers hindered. And then I mentioned that verse number 5 is really the bridge, the gap that gets us from these first 4 verses to the next verses, verses 6 through basically verse number 12. You see, we are to submit ourselves to God. We are to live in the grace of God, verse 6 says. We are to resist the devil. We are to draw nigh to God, verse number 8. We are to live a life that is pleasing to God with a clean life. We are to be afflicted and mourn in the sense that we're to humble ourselves in the sight of God. We're not to speak evil one toward another. And then he says this. He begins in verse 13. He says, now this is the way people live their life. They say things like this. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to such in a city. I'm going to continue here. I'm going to gain. But the bottom line is you don't know what tomorrow is. There's no doubt that I have a calendar. I live by my calendar. I have to open up the calendar to make sure that I plan my week out specifically. Usually I can do things like in 4-week blocks. I can say, this week is mission conference. The week after that is the Lord's Supper. That brings us to Easter. And the week after that is I've got to preach here. And the week after that I've got to preach there. Whatever it might be, we do have plans and we have calendars. But here's the problem. And this is what James is dealing with. He is dealing with people who make plans, but then they leave God out of those plans. That's the problem. Listen, you can plan for your future, but if you leave God out of those plans, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Now, here's the way that I look at it. We understand, and I'm reminded of the message that we preached out of the life of Moses on Bezalel, and how that he was used by God to help build the tabernacle. It was God that put within this man the knowledge and the wisdom on how to perform the doing of the building of the tabernacle. We know that Moses was the leader, and Moses is mainly the prominent figure when we're reading through that chapter, but it doesn't mean that God was not in the life of Bezalel, or He was not in the life of Aaron, or He was not in the life of Ur, and it doesn't matter who the leader is. In that sense, Moses did his part, but here's what we said. Moses needed those people, and those people needed Moses. You know why that is because God has a plan for each of our lives. That is an obvious truth. He is a God of wisdom, and He knows what's going to happen before it ever occurs. And as He is a God of grace, a God of love, a God of mercy, He would always, like we would, for our own children in our own physical children, we desire the best for them. I want the best for them. What is the deal with my granddaughter Abby? Her face is all messed up. She looks like she face planted somewhere. Yep, that's what happened. And so she's like, it doesn't bother her though. She's still smiling and still laughing. And I'm thinking, well, that's good. God wants the best for His children, just like we want the best for our children. The problem is trying to do something without God in our plans. God knows what tomorrow holds. I don't. In fact, I'm glad I don't. I'm to plan my life with God inside of those plans, but I don't know what is around the corner. Because the bottom line is, as James says, when it comes right down to it, our life is like a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, and then we vanish off the scene, and the next generation comes up behind us, and the next generation after that, so that when we read the Bible, we know that all the people that we read about and those stories in the Bible, they passed on the scene. And just as they passed off the scene, we too shall pass off the scene. The problem is we pass off the scene and God was never in our plans, then it won't work out very well. James deals with a tragedy. This is the context of what James is dealing with. He is dealing with the tragedy of making plans, attempting to carry out those plans like they're up to us, and that God has nothing to say about it. My friend, it doesn't matter where you're at in your station in life, you leave God out and nothing's going to turn out the way it should. Plans have to be made. Listen, plans have to be made. I am a planner. I plan things out years in advance. I'll just give you an instance. Preachers who call up and say, hey, we're going to have a meeting in 3 months. Can you come? I go, don't say that because I've got plans. My calendar is set, all right? Don't mess up my plans. I have preachers, I know who's going to be preaching meetings here in the next 2 or 3 years because I pray about it, I plan about it. I want God in it. I don't want God to be left out. But plans, while they have to be made, and goals are okay to make, but don't leave God out. Don't leave God out of your goals, and don't leave God out of your plans. Now, James is going to tell us how you do that. You do it by saying, if God wills, I'll do this on my calendar. If the Lord's in it. But as I said to my wife yesterday as we were driving down the road, I said this. I said, yes, we have plans for such and such to take place, but we could all be in glory by this time next year. You don't know what's going to happen. But here's what I do want to preach. I'm going to get to the message here, and that is this. James is going to tell us what kind of life that you actually live if God is not in your plans. So I will reveal to you, based on the Word of God this morning, what kind of life that you are actually living if God's not in your plans, if God's not in your goals. Hey, listen, young people, it's okay to have goals, and it's okay to have plans, and it's okay to think ahead. But if you try to make those plans and try to have those goals and God's not involved and you say not God, if God will, God want God's will for my life, then you're not. It's not going to turn out the way you think it's supposed to. By the way, can I say this? Life never turns out the way we think it's going to turn out anyway. Now, everybody that's older go, yeah, that's right, amen. I'm telling you right now, I have made plans and I have had goals and I've thought things through and I wanted to see this happen. And I'll be honest with you, I have to go back and say, well, did I consult God on that? Now, it wasn't that it's not a bad plan and it's not that it's not a bad goal. But what about if I was to say, what about what God thinks about that? Now, let me give you an example. And I'm, you know me, I'm transparent anyway. Doesn't matter to me. I know I'm a goober, and it don't matter to me. I mean, I realize that if it wasn't for the grace of God, I don't even know where I'd be today. But as a pastor and a preacher and a pastor of a church, you want to see people grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You want to see people saved. You want to see the church grow numerically. And so I remember back, I used to think, boy, when I pastored in Knob Knob, if we could just reach 100, I mean, I don't know why I thought that, but then I thought later on, well, what does it matter if it's 100 or if it's 50 or if it's 20? What about what God thinks about it? Now, here's what I mean by that. I can say in my mind and my heart, and I'd like our church to grow to a capacity and 500, but maybe that's not God's will. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't work as hard as I can and do as much as I can and pray and preach and prepare and be in people's lives. Hey, all of that. But what if God so chooses, and by the way, He does this sometimes, to take this person out of the church and put them over here in this church? Or what I mean by that is to start a church or go to the mission field. And who would I be? How selfish would I be as a man of God and a pastor of a church if I got mad every time somebody left to go pastor a church or start a church or be a missionary? I'm like, Lord, now stop it. I want all these people. No. We're not kingdom builders. We're kingdom of God builders. And so while it might not be God's will for our church to grow to a size, whatever, you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that whatever plans and whatever goals and whatever thing that we might have in our life, we better say if it's God's will or God's will be done in that matter. So don't leave here today and say, preacher, don't want us to make goals. No, that's cultic. No, you need to make plans. You need to have plans. You need to think. But you need to not leave God out. God needs to be in there. Now, here's the kind of life that you live if you try to make plans and you try to do things and God's not involved in it, or you say, if God will, if you don't do that, the first thing you are is you're selfish. Because verse 13 says that these people say, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So James is saying, the problem with this verse number 13 is they've left God out. Basically what they've said is, hey, I'm going to go. I'm going to continue a year. I'm going to go to this city. I'm going to sell. And I'm going to get gain. Hey, what if God's not in that? What if there's not a church there? You know how many times as a pastor of over 28 years, I've had somebody come to me and say, Pastor, we're leaving and we're going to such and such city, and it's because of a job. And you know what the first thing a good preacher is going to say? Is there a church there? And you know what I've heard many times? Well, we're not sure, but we're going anyway. But they never say, we think it's God's will. Basically, what they're saying is, it's my will, money's involved, and we're heading that direction. Somebody say amen, or I'll think you didn't understand what I'm saying. You might be that one contemplating that. Don't do it. It is not God's will for you to be somewhere not involved in the Lord's work. And the way that He gets glory is through His church. So I'm telling you, there are people that would be willing to sacrifice their family and sacrifice their spiritual well-being for a dollar. And I'm telling you, that's selfish. Because money ain't everything. Money ain't that good. It is God's will. It is. And so when I say to them, that ain't God's will, then they go, well, who do you think you are? Well, I'm just telling you, it ain't God's will to say, I'm going to go to a city, I'm going to build, I'm going to get gain, and I'm going to do it for a year. If God's not involved in it. That's selfish. Folks, we need to understand that here are the plans of a selfish person, verse 13. It is the story of a life lived for self. Notice about midway through this verse, we have two little words and it says this, we will. Basically, that's selfish. I will do what I'm going to do. One of my philosophies of ministry that I've written down somewhere, I don't remember what number it is, but maybe somebody could remind me. But this is, here's the number. People do what people want to do. And they never consult God in it, and therefore they are selfish. He says, we will go. And it continues on to say, and here's what we're going to do when we go. We're going to buy, we're going to sell, and we're going to get gain. To which I would say, if God wills, you will, but you might lose it all. Well, that's not my plan. Did you consult God? You see, their plans, whether you realize it or not, verse 13 is a plan of arrogancy. And in many cases, people do things that are very selfish and don't even realize it's very selfish. Because they're all about themselves. Their three favorite people is me, myself, and I. They decided where they were going. They decided when they're going to go. They decided how long they're going to stay, and they're absolutely certain they will gain profit from what they're going to do. And I say to you, that is a self-centered, selfish life, and there is no regard for God in verse number 13. They are theological Christians, but there are many Christians that theologically they are Christians, but they practice being an atheist. You say, preacher, that don't make no sense. Well, they believe in God theologically. They say they love God, but their daily practice does not prove that out, and they live their life selfishly. The idea is a person who leaves God out of his plans, listen to what the Bible says, they're foolish. They're a fool. And when we fail to put God into our plans, it is foolish. It is very foolish. I'll tell you another thing, is not only it's foolish and very selfish, but a life that plans out without God is a shallow life. Look what he says in verse number 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Oh, I'm telling you, I read this little poem and it reminds me, it says this, when as a child I laughed and wept, and time crept. You remember when you was a child? You didn't think, man, I'm never going to get out of school. I'll never forget. I was in the third grade. I hated third grade. For some reason, I was afraid of my teacher. That's what it was at. She was big and mean and burly. And mercy, she was a man of God or something. You know, I mean, she just scared me half to death, my third grade teacher. I was glad to get in the fourth grade. I remember being in the third grade riding the bus, and I was sitting on that bus, and I was looking at those people, and they're driving cars. And I thought, oh, man, one of these days I'll be free. I'll be off this bus. I'll be driving a car. Oh, I'll be free. I had no idea what that guy was going through. He could have been in the depths of despair for all I knew. But, whoa, nobody can be in more depths of despair than the third grade on a bus. 45 minutes home, 45 minutes back. You know what I think today? I lay in my bed and go, man, I'd like to get on the bus, be in the third grade. Mercy, because when as a child I laughed and wept and time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked and time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in passing on, time gone. And the older you get, the faster it goes. But I'm telling you, my friend, you don't put God in your life, it's a shallow life. It's a shallow, shallow life. You know, James, he understood the Scriptures, and no doubt he got this when he said this in verse number 14. He was reminded of Proverbs 27:1 that said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It's a shallow life without God. It's a shallow life to live without God. I lived 24 years of my life not knowing God, thinking that I was okay with God, but had no relationship with God. I was 24 years old when I got saved. That's when life really began for me. Because up until that time, everything was very shallow. Nothing of any lasting value is going to come from a life without God. It's a vapor. It appeareth for a little while. Listen, my friend, there may not even be a tomorrow. You realize that? How many times have I seen people come to church on Sunday, but yet they're not in church the next Sunday? I've seen people who came to church on a Sunday morning and didn't even come to church on Sunday night. You say, what happened to them? Their life disappeared like that, meaning it vanished, meaning they died in the afternoon. I'm reminded of people that have done ministry on Sunday morning, and by Sunday night, before church ever started, they were in heaven. You see, because the truth is we don't know what tomorrow is. We don't know what around the corner is. We don't know what is before us. And I'm telling you, my friend, to live a life that is without God, according to verse 14, is very, very shallow because your life is but a vapor. I remember the first time we ever had a microwave in our house. I mean, it was a brand new invention. We were in a new house. My wife is already smiling. And we were talking about a redneck hillbilly having a microwave. That is awesome. Except I never read the instructions. And I said, you know, I've heard you can make hot dogs in a microwave. Now, I know this today, that a hot dog takes about 20 seconds. Man, you know what I love the most about a microwave? Popcorn. 2 minutes, man. I love popcorn. But, man, remember back in the old days, you got to get out the oil, you got to get out. Man, kids right now, they're going, oh, what are you talking about, oil? And a pan. You had to put it in there and you had to shake it, lay it on it, and it popped. And man, it's like a 15-minute ordeal just to get popcorn. Man, now you just throw that sucker in the thing, you hit the microwave 2 minutes, it's out, steam all over the place, put it in there. Woo! I thought it was the first time hot dog. I thought 2 or 3 minutes, that ought to be good. 3 minutes. 3 minutes, put the hot dog in. I said, it's awesome, we got a microwave. I go back to, you know, go to the bathroom, but I come back. Man, there's a smoke boiling out of the thing. Stunk like hot dogs for weeks. And on hot dogs only. So I decided to get out the manual and find out hot dogs only take like 20 seconds. The point is, that's exactly what James said. Preacher, there's no microwave in there. No, he's talking about boiling water. Same idea. You walk away from it, it's gone before you know it. You get busy doing something. You don't leave pinto beans boiling without continuing to put water in it. If you do, yeah, it'll stink worse than a hot dog, I'll guarantee you that. But it happens so quickly, so shallow, without Christ in your life. This brings me to Luke chapter 12. You can keep your finger here, but I'm telling you the perfect picture that Jesus used is found in Luke chapter number 12. And he talked about this man that said that lived a life that was selfish and lived a life that was shallow. This man lived where we're at right now. He lived verse number 13 and he lived verse number 14. He lived in such a way that he said, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to do it, and I'm going to get gain. But verse number 14 tells us that his life was like a vapor. Here's how Jesus Christ said it in this parable. In Luke chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 16, he said, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, there's the problem right there. He left God out. It's all about himself. And he thought within himself, here's what I'm going to do. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you're awesome. Thou hast much goods laid up for thy many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, you are shallow. You are selfish. You have left God out of your plans. Tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich and is not rich toward God. You see, it was all about himself. It was about me, myself, and I. Listen, my friend. When you live your life in such a way that you take what is yours that God has given you and you only think about self, your life is shallow. Your life is selfish. And I want you to understand, here is a man who was on top of the world, according to the parable. He had produced a bumper crop to the point that he didn't even have enough place to store it. He was going to tear down his barns. He was going to build bigger ones. He had stored up everything he had. He had set back, and he was going to take life easy. The problem is he never enjoyed it because God was never involved in it. He would say to himself, eat, drink, and be merry. But what is startling is the words that says this, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You see, my friend, failing to put God into your plans not only results in a life that is very selfish and a life that is very shallow. I'm going to tell you, let me just stop right here and get you to understand that if you're here today without Christ, you've never been saved, you have never put Christ into your life, you've never repented of your sins and trusted Christ as your Savior, whether you realize it or not, up until this point of your life, everything has been about you. You're selfish. And I will say, as easy as I can, but as forceful as I can, you live a very shallow life without Christ. Christ gives you fulfillment. He fills your heart with joy. He gives you eternal life. Life has a purpose. You see, up until salvation, it's mainly about, well, you know, me, my family, me, myself, and I. No. It's more than that. Not only is it a life of shallow, not only do we find in this life of a person who says, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do, and God said, no, you can't do that because your life is it's like a vapor. It appears for a time and vanishes away. Not only is a person that live a life without God is as selfish and shallow, but the bottom line, he's also rebellious. Because here's what verse number 15 says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Do you know why it's a rebellious life? Because God has been left out. It is sad that many Christians, even people that have been saved, their life is messed up because they live their life in such a way with no regard to the will of God in their life. You understand verse number 15 is about God's will? You see, the chapter started off in war and it's ending up in will. It is God's will that everything that you do, every plan that you make, every goal that you set, everything that is in your family's life has to do with the will of God. Now, I will tell you this. You don't have to live a shallow life. And you don't have to live a selfish life because God says this. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But I'm telling you, a person who takes their life and does it for what they want to do, and they have no regard for God or God's will, the fact is that they don't even realize that their future is uncertain. My friend, you have no idea what's going on inside your body right now. You just don't know. You may think you know, but we don't. God knows. God knows what's around the corner. God knows what's going to happen in a year. You know, my parents are very fragile right now. And somebody might say, well, how's your mom and dad doing? Well, they've both been in the hospital the last couple of weeks. I talked to my mom yesterday. It was her 81st birthday. I called her earlier in the morning, because earlier in the morning, an Alzheimer's patient can do better. Once she gets tired, it gets harder for her. And so I called her on the phone, told her happy birthday. I asked her, did you know it was your birthday? Did you remember? Yeah. Well, I remember it's my birthday. All right, I'm just checking with you. And we had a little conversation and we talked about some things. Now, here's the cool thing about, well, it's not. My mom has never forgotten me. She'll forget the people that live in her house, but she ain't forgotten me. So, you know. Whatever that's worth, amen. She'll say something about my niece that lives in the house. She's getting ready to get married and move out. But I was there last September, and my mom, I was sitting there talking to her in the living room, and she said, I don't know what that girl upstairs is doing. In fact, I think she might be sick or something. I said, you got somebody living in your house? She goes, yeah, there's a girl up there living in my house. It's her niece. She's been living there all her life, I mean. But me, she has not forgot. Praise God. Amen. So I talked to my son last night. Minnie, I talked to my mom 10, 15 minutes. You know, I told her I loved her, and she told me she loved me. And then so last night I'm talking to my son on the phone, and I said, did you call Grandma? Did you call Grandma? Did you wish her happy? Yeah, talked to her. Just got off the phone with her about an hour ago. How come you hadn't called her? I said, what do you mean, boy? I talked to her on the phone this morning, wished her happy birthday, talked to her about 15 minutes. He said, you know what she told me? I said, what? He said, she can't remember the last time she talked to you. I said, well, at least she didn't forget me. He said, well, that's true, because when I called her, she didn't know who I was. I said, okay, there you go. Do I know what's going to happen to my parents or when it's going to happen? No, I don't. You don't either. We don't know when something's going to happen. You don't know. Listen, you go, well, I'm young, I'm vibrant, I've got my life ahead of me, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Lord willing. Lord willing. Don't ever leave God out of your plans. Life may not turn out exactly the way you thought it would, but if you'll put God in your life will not be shallow. If you consult God on every avenue of your life, in your giving, in your missions, and who you marry, where you live, what you do, how you serve God, if you don't leave God out, if you put God at the forefront, your life won't be selfish. Your life won't be shallow. Your life won't be rebellious. Your life won't be sinful. Because look what he says in verse 16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. Isn't that what they did in verse 13? They're boasting about what they're going to do today and tomorrow and what city they're going to go to and how long they're going to stay there and how they're going to buy and how they're going to sell and how they're going to get gain. You see, verse 16 says, you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. You know what James is saying? A person that lives apart from God is sinful. It's evil. How sad and how deceived for a man to brag about tomorrow's plans and the accomplishments that he's going to do, and without even understanding that he has absolutely no control of the future. Solomon said it like this, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." To count on tomorrow to do what you know you ought to do is not only foolish, it is sinful. You think God wants a person to live sinfully? No. Well, preacher, I don't want to live sinfully. Listen, the message is simple. Don't leave God out. Don't say, "I'm going to do this," like you know what you're going to do. Make your plans and have your goals, but say, "Lord willing." If God wills. And you listen to me this morning, if God is not in your life is shallow. You don't even realize it. Your life is not only shallow, but it's rebellious, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made a way for us to be saved. He didn't go to the cross of Calvary and shed His blood for our salvation so that we could just be rebellious and do whatever we want to do. You say, "Well, most of the world is like that." Most of the world is rebellious. My goodness, can you not see that? All you have to do is read the front page of any newspaper to understand the world lives in rebellion. Why? Because God's not in their plans. I was amazed this week. Well, not amazed. But the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence, made a statement that said, "He don't eat with women outside of his wife." I thought, well, that makes Bible sense. But yet he's ridiculed by the media because he made a statement like that. You know what? Mike Pence is not in rebellion. The world is in rebellion. All right? And if you're without Christ, without even realizing it, you're in rebellion towards God. And your life is selfish and your life is shallow. You put God in it. Now listen, God's people. You put God in your life and then you make your plans and you have your goals and praise God for them. But you say, "If God wills." You don't say as a preacher or whatever, "We're going to run 500. We're going to 300. We're going to run 500. Really? If it's God's will, we will. He's the builder of the church anyway. We're to be faithful in everything that we're to do. But I'll tell you this, you leave God out and it'll be selfish. It'll be shallow. It'll be rebellious, and it'll be sinful. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life like that. Amen. I want God in my life. Amen. I want the will of God in my life. See, there's a lot of people just want their own will. And I'll tell you one more story, or kind of illustration. Before I got saved, at the age of 24 in 1984, I had my life planned out. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew where I wanted to go. I knew how I wanted to get there. And had it all planned out. I didn't want to be messed up with anything else. Then I got saved, praise God. And then I had to go, "Wait a minute. I'd like to do that, but maybe I can't do that." Then God called me to preach. And when God called me to preach, you know what I said? "Now, Lord, you already know I got plans." And He snapped me in half. And from that day forward, I was like, you know what? I don't want to leave God out. Because I don't know what tomorrow is. I don't know what's around the corner. Brother Pringle, I'll tell you this, and I'm being honest. If God had told me everything you got to go through to be a preacher or a pastor, I might have jumped out of the plane. But it's been a good life. God is good. And God gets sweeter and sweeter every day as long as He is in your life. And you say, "God's will. And I want to do God's will. I don't want my life to be shallow. I don't want my life to be selfish. I don't want my life to be sinful." But we have the tendency that can help happen to us if God is left out. Boy, doesn't time fly? Just like that. Man. I remember my kids were little. And I was so busy, you know. And now my grandkids are the same age all of a sudden as my kids were. How'd that happen? And I realize that it goes by very quickly. And it's very shallow and very selfish and very sinful and very rebellious unless God's involved. Amen. If you're not saved, involve God in your life. If you are saved, make sure you consult Him on everything that you do. Amen. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed.